Simon Magner from the Everton Supporters Trust. You know, the question is, where is that Arteta money? Here you go. Potentially, this could be a bit of it.
Yeah, it's coming back, isn't it? It must have been put in a trust fund for us to cash in at a later date. And yeah, we seem to be doing it now. It's Morgan Schneiderlin would be a fantastic signing. I've been a big fan of his since, obviously, his Southampton days. He would be a fantastic signing for the club, and I think he's the kind of player that we need just to give that midfield a little bit of a push.
Where do you put him? Do you use Gareth Barry sparingly now, and do you just sort of let him be part of sort of, I won't say the ageing process, the man's only 35, but it means you have a bit of depth in there?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much where he foresees Barry. I mean, Idrissa Garnett-Gay is obviously going off to the African Cup of Nations this week, so we lose him and he's going to be a massive loss. So Schneiderlin coming in is quite timely in that respect. But going forward, I can only see a midfield duo, if you will, in that sort of a defensive capacity of Garnett-Gay and Schneiderlin there. And as you say, Barry being used sparingly.
Good to see it now, because I think a couple of weeks ago, the main point that I was making on this show was the fact that why would these players sign for Everton? No disrespect to Everton, but the question at the time was, why are players moving to Spurs, moving across the ponds? There was many different links in Italy as well. And that's Ronald Koeman giving you a buzz just to give you a heads up and let you know you're all right. Just giving you a heads up just to let you know that the signing might actually go through. This is how far up the chain Simon Magner from the Everton Supporters Trust is.
Make the deal, Ron. Okay, catch you later.
Good job. Yes, that's sorted, done and dusted. But the question was always, like, why would people sign for Everton? It looks like now that the Koeman factor might actually come into play.
Yeah, I think obviously the Koeman factor there, and obviously Steve Walsh has got quite a big say in the football world. He's got a big reputation, so there's also that factor. Everton are a big club, sleeping giant. I know we don't have that European football this season to entice players in. But I know quite a few of us Blues hate the word project, but you get a feeling that at the moment with Mashiri coming in, it seems to have steadied the ship.
It's the first time that it actually physically has felt like a project.
Yeah, a long term aim to what's going on right now.
Even medium term, because it feels like this thing could go quite quickly if all the T's get crossed and the I's get dotted quite quickly. Because previously it was almost like, just if we keep slinging enough stuff at this, something's going to stick. And then what happened with Everton, nothing really did stick, and it got became such a frustrating time for Everton fans.
The last 10 years have been, well, it's been longer than 10 years. I think we've had our ups and downs pretty much since 95 when we last won the FA Cup. And there's been quite a few false dawns. You know, we've had some good teams in that period as well. And I've had...
Two years in a row finishing above Liverpool. And I know it's not how you should measure yourself as a club, but then they were positive years for Everton.
Yeah, without a doubt. And prior to that as well, when we had the... sort of I'd say the middle part of the Moyes era, when we had players like, we had a midfield there of Osman on form, Arteta on form, Pienaar, such a cracking player, Cahill, and you forget how good and how well these players play together, and that team was literally, I think two or three players away from, you know, achieving something special, and you could see the tangible progression that team made up until 2009. And then obviously a lot has been said about that glass ceiling that Everton hit, and you can see how we've struggled to really reassert ourselves.
Well, the thing about the glass ceiling is the fact that it needs the foundations built right up in order for you to break through that glass ceiling, to use another building analogy. Farah Mashiri's in there now. He looks like he has the passion, let's just say. Now, the direction of this passion, I suppose only time will tell. And last evening, it was the Everton FC AGM. What did you make of it? Give me some of the highlights. And I suppose we'll start with talking about the fact that the new ground by the docks is on track, in inverted commas.
Yeah, seems to be. I think quite a few fans took a lot of positives, and quite rightly, from last night's meeting. I've spoke to a few fans as well who said they feel it's a little bit of a damn squib, which I think they're entitled to. I think everyone was kind of hoping that we were gonna you know, find out definitive answers as to whether, you know, we were moving to the Bramley Moor and Bramley Moor Dock, and although it, you know, we did get a little bit of information that wasn't the definitive information that we wanted.
So what did you get? What information did you pick up that you went, okay, right, we can see this as a positive?
Well, with regards to the Bramley Moor dock, I guess the guys on the top table were openly talking about it, as well as Joe Anderson. So I think in a situation where you're in a general meeting that's going to be publicised, you know, across the country, to be actually saying, yeah, this is where we want to go, and, you know, we're really close to it. We're a couple of, I think Robert Elstone said we're a couple of months away from finalising a deal. And I think if you're not that far, that it would be quite cavalier to say, you know, something
so
like
are,
that.
Or are other Everton fans just a little bit perplexed as to why it's not done and dusted? Because it's very, you know, building is one of the most complex things.
I don't think they're perplexed that it's not been done and dusted. I think they're just frustrated that because we've had, like I said, so many false dawns over the last couple of years, we want this now, and we, you know, we deserve it. Everton fans do deserve it.
That's the word I was going to use. You do genuinely, as a club, deserve it. And for all the effort, all the heart, the fact, like, I've been up to Goodison a few times, my dad's a big Everton fan, and it's cold, it's creaky, it's old, it's beautiful sometimes.
It's got character.
It's got character, but I'll warn anybody who was ever a Liverpool fan, the amount of times that Brendan Rodgers used the term character, don't trust the word character that many times. But it is time for something new in Everton, and you can understand the fans' frustration.
Yes, definitely, and there is a big debate around, you know, even now around, you know, whether we could redevelop Goodison as a plan B to, you know, relocating to Bramley Moor Dock if that doesn't come off.
How would you feel about that?
I think we've got to be. I think we've had so many failed projects now that if Bramley Moor doesn't go ahead, I think you've got to go for Goodison.
Just grasp the nettle and just do what Liverpool did.
Exactly, and it's not the sort of the as difficult as what people would expect. It is difficult. It would prove to be a lot more sort of hurdles in the way of you know, you talk about a landlocked area the way Goodison is, but it is doable, and unfortunately, it just would be on an incremental basis that would take probably about 10 years rather than, you know, a new stadium that we hopefully maybe could be in another 3 or 4 years.
That would be positive news for Everton. So make sure you're with us here on Radio City Talk. That's, I'm sure, going to run sort of towards February or March. We're sure to hear more on that. Let's talk about the other things from the aforementioned AGM. Everton expect the value of their next shirt sponsorship deal to increase by 300% compared to their current agreement. This was one of the things that Everton fans have said to me for many years. The club as a commercial entity doesn't really exist in comparison to some of the big championship clubs, never mind the Premier League clubs. We're talking about the shirt distribution deals.
Yeah.
We're talking about the money going back into the club. We're talking about the sponsorship. Is this something that has frustrated Everton fans? And do you think this has maybe held Everton back making the big signings just pre the Mshiri era?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if you consider the way other teams that I'd considered to be at our peer level, you talk about the Spurs and the Liverpools, Arsenals, and you have a look at their sort of how they manage to bring money in, financing above and beyond the TV money. You have a look at their shirt sponsorships, their manufacturing deals, and how they're able to exploit the markets out in the Far East and out in America. And that's just something that we've, in recent years, we've not been able to do. This news...
But why not? Because you've a Far East beer manufacturer as your sponsor.
We do, but we've been tied down by outsourcing our shirt deals to Kitbag and I think they're called Fanatics now or something like that, which has really restricted that how you've been able to obtain. And it before Kitbag and Fanatics, I think it was JJB, and that's really restricted where you could purchase an Everton shirt. Now, we have quite a big following in Ireland, and the amount of Irish Blues I've spoke to have said you can't buy an Everton shirt outside of
Belfast, yeah. No, yeah. And you know, you can go into. I can tell you that from an Irishman who's got a brother and a dad who are both Everton fans, and unfortunately, right as a Red.
What happened to you, Connor?
I have no idea. Many people say I might have been dropped. I might have been just left to one side, maybe in the Red, there being the Blues. But what happened was, I love to see the colours. I love to see people wearing their shirt or their T-shirt of their choice, whether it be Liverpool, Everton. So I always try and buy my brother one every year. So if you go through my emails, you'll maybe see, you know, Liverpool Supporters Club, Liverpool Supporters Club, and then four in a row from Everton trying to sell me stuff as well. And my other half could never work that out. And I still get the emails. I never unsubscribe because every now and again there's a good deal.
I'd
buy my brother or my dad a good top. But it is something that, and just I'll use that. I know I'm tongue in cheek a little bit here, but I'll use that I do see my emails coming in from Liverpool, and then I do see the emails coming in from Everton. And even something as simple as an email, it's poles apart.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Liverpool setup and you look at what's on offer, and then you look at the Everton setup and you go, well, you can see why Everton fans are so frustrated.
You're in a unique position there because I wouldn't be able to tell you what's on the Liverpool email. Yeah.
I literally am. I think I'm probably the only person in the UK that can do that.
Some mums and dads out there for Christmas and birthdays maybe, but... Yeah, I mean, the whole thing around the kit deals has been a massive sort of thorn in the side of Everton over the years, and it's been, you know, one that the fans have been almost unanimously, you know, negative towards. So this news about, you know, the 300% rise, this is, you know, this is really welcome news, and this is sounds like it's a really good, obviously the devil's in the details, but it does sound like it's a really good deal for Everton. And it's just that, unfortunately, we're a little bit late to this party and we've still got a lot of catch-up to do.
What was it? Liverpool's was 25 million a year or something with Standard and Chartered.
One of them, yeah.
One of them. And then they've got, obviously, they've got a second deal. They've got a strip deal. Manchester United set the bar on that with everything from Chevrolet to Vodafone, insert company here.
Yeah.
That is the gap that you want to close and need to close. And what were they saying at the AGM? How quick will that turn around?
The gap between a club that has sort of an overseas support like Everton's compared to, as much as I hate to say it, Liverpool's and Manchester United's, that's a gap that you'd be chipping away at for years to come. I think what Everton have got to do is just get the ship in order and start reaching out to new markets and just making small sort of chips away at that.
Is the Man City model a good model to maybe face? Because they're kind of doing that at the moment.
Yes, you've got to get your way around financial fair play as well, and City are doing that the right way with their shared sponsors. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's a similar model that we'd adopt is, perhaps a company that Mashiri has relations with, or you know, another potential shareholder that has a relationship with, could help us out in that way. And that seems to be the way to sort of
progress.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to Radio City Talk. I'm Connor Phillips. This is Full Time. I'm joined by Simon Magner from the Everton Supporters Trust. I suppose it frustrates you that you don't have sort of an official affiliation with the club, but then in many ways that's a positive thing for you as well.
I prefer to be independent. Yeah. There would be beneficial, many beneficial sort of aspects of being, official partnership with the club. But I think the idea between the supporters trust is that it belongs to the supporters, and any sort of ideas, campaigns that comes from within the support base rather than, you know, being instigated by the club being, a corporate entity, if you will.
But that's, as we said, that's the way things are going. There's no other way around that in football at the moment.
No, and that's why I think it's important for trusts to be around right now, is to keep football clubs grounded, if you will, because it is easy to get carried away and to run away with all these, you know, these great ideas. But if you're leaving the fans behind, I mean, at the end of the day, in 50 years' time, Everton fans will still remain. The players will have gone. The manager will have gone. The owners will have gone. Yeah. It'll be the fans that remain. And you know, we talk about the stadium. That's why the stadium's so important. Because in 50 years' time, if we get it wrong, if we go down the route that, you know, we were potentially going down 10 years ago with the Destination Kirby, it would have been the fans that would have been picking up the pieces. So that's why it's important that that, you know, there's an effective supporters trust there that can effectively represent the fans.
We'd love your thoughts on this. 0151 708 1059. I was smiling quite a lot on Twitter last night. Maybe I shouldn't have been. The fact that Everton fans are coming out and saying, you know, like, it looks like we could get it in the dock, and then, you know, they put the train station.
We're quite smug at the moment.
But no,
us have our moments.
No, but it was brilliant. It was lovely to see it, actually, because it was like Everton fans going, oh yeah, and we could have a train here and stuff. And Liverpool fans going, whoa, train? Hold on a second. Yeah. We've been looking for a train for years. And then you see Twitter exploding, and then You see, there's often some really good banter between Everton and Liverpool, and I'm not going to say too much over the derby a couple of weeks ago because that would be remiss of me.
It would be.
But
what derby? Carry on.
But just that Everton are even in this kind of conversation now is, even in the 6 months I've done this show, it just feels like a different club. And Mashiri coming out last night saying, look, I love the positivity of the club and I love every time I go there, somebody just wants to buy me a drink all the time. So that's the really good, upbeat, positive stuff. But then again, as you would expect, some things coming out of the AGM last night that, you know, Everton fans looking a little bit more emotion and stuff. What frustrated you last night, or was it a little bit too stagnant maybe?
I mean, personally, where it comes with Mashiri and the current setup, I'm cautious. I'm cautiously optimistic. I understand that, you know, this is going to be a long process. I would have loved the stadium to be displayed in all its glory yesterday. I would have loved that, but on the other hand, I understand that it's probably not going to happen. There's a long road to go down. Like I say, I think that was more the Evertonians' frustrations. It's because we've had so many false dawns. We want that sort of tangible, yes, we've come back.
Something to see, something to hold, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the progress that Liverpool have made, obviously, you talk about the support that they get overseas and they finally managed to, you know, build on that and the redevelopment of Anfield, and you've got this fantastic, massive sort of stand that's dominating, you know, the Liverpool skyline.
Were you surprised how quick that was done?
I think it took a lot longer than it should have been, to be honest with you, when you consider the size of the club that Liverpool are. I mean, obviously, we had a few hiccups along the way.
Are you prepared for a similar kind of wait?
Not now. Well, I think we've had a longer wait, I think. It's, you know, when we threw the park end up, it was 94, 95 back then. So, you know, the last time, I mean, we're doing this amazing cladding around Goodison Park now, but That's really the first time that we've had any sort of positive, you know, development of Goodison, I'd say, you know, in 20, 22 years, I'd say. But so I think, yeah, I think we've waited long enough for something like this. But I think in football clubs, we're in competition with each other. And, you know, it's not bitterness or jealousy to see Liverpool throw up a massive, great, big new stand and have plans to do, you know, other areas. It's not bitterness and jealousy for us to say, well, actually, we're going to go one better. We're going to chuck up a state-of-the-art stadium on the docks. That's the way football should be. And,
and you can see it with Spurs and Arsenal at the moment,
exactly,
as well.
Yeah. You know, it's not bitterness and jealousy from Spurs to go, you know, we want to compete with you, we want to beat you. And at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. We want to compete and beat Liverpool. And, you know, unfortunately, Goodison Park does hold us back in its current format. So you've got to either address that or relocate. And it looks like relocation is the answer. So hopefully in 10 or 15 years' time, you know, you talk about the long game, you know, we'll be back to where we should be, looking down on our rivals.
You can tell how passionate you are about the stadium. Every time I've asked you a question since you come in here, it's gone back. So, look, no, the stadium, which I totally get, totally understand. And it's great to see, having seen the photographs of where it could be, and then seeing how Everton fans are starting to take to it and their nickname and things and everything. It's just sore. Again, going back to the point I made earlier on, it's very positive. Let's have a little chat about the other stuff, you know, the finances with regards to trying to bring players in, the fact that Mr. Mashiri is talk to some national radio stations potentially, and I'm not just saying this from a Radio City Talk perspective, you can use any of the other media platforms. Why is he not using local platforms to get his point across?
Well, I did think about doing this interview via iPhone's notes myself, but I thought it'd be best to come in.
So does that frustrate you? And is there anything else that happened last evening that made the headlines for you?
I mean that, talk about the transfer deadline day and the way it sort of slumped for Everton and afterwards with that, it was a bizarre sort of interview that Jim White had with Mashiri via iPhone notes, and it was just strange. And I've never met Mashiri. The people that I know that I have met him said he's a lovely guy. Don't know if that's his style, you know, a bit flamboyant, a bit different. That could be his style, it could be his way of operating it. Did think it was strange that he didn't use Everton's official channels.
Yeah.
Definitely think, obviously, you know, we've got fantastic radio stations in Liverpool. Like, you know, he probably could knock on the door right now and kick me out of my seat, and you could be here for.
I'd let you do a joint interview. That's how fair I am here in Radio City Talk and Fire. If you're listening, feel free to get yourself in here. So, what positives are you going to bring away from this? Right, what's from a supporter's trust? Are you going to sit down with your fellow supporters and fellow fans and go, look, let's look at the positives here, and let's at least get together, create a bit of positivity and kick on to the next level? What do you do?
Well, first and foremost, something that we haven't had for a long time is a plan. And it seems to be that we have got a plan. We've spoke about it before, short, medium and long term. And it's that long term one that has been elusive, if you will. And it seems to be that is falling into place now. The pieces are coming together and that's falling into place. Personally, from a supporters trust point of view, what I was absolutely delighted with last night is one of our officers managed at the end of the general meeting to get a question about safe standing. Safe standing is obviously a hugely divisive subject in the city, and it's something that we've recently done a survey amongst Evertonians. We're hoping the results will be out in the next couple of days. We're just finalising the report.
How are they looking? Can you give us some insight how they are looking?
Interesting. A lot of fans that I don't want to give too much away, but you know, they're interesting results and a lot of the sort of opinions I wouldn't have expected. We try to capture sort of demographics as well, so age range. So it's interesting that certain age groups have voted certain ways. So
don't say that too loud. That did not bode well for anybody in 2016, especially in this country.
No,
certain age range voting about certain things. But anyway, so you see that is a good start.
But I mean, sorry, going back to the safe standing question that was asked. It was asked about, I think what our officer said, Dave Kelly. He said, you know, it's going to happen, and the debate needs to be had. And what a really positive thing that I took out was. It was the chairman that answered it, Bill Kenwright, and obviously his relationship with the Hillsborough Family Support Group is very well known. And Bill said when the debate is had, fans will be consulted, and that's really, for us as a trust, that's really important, because at the end of the day, like I was saying earlier about the stadium and football fans being there in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the line when other aspects of the club have moved on, That's why fans should be involved and engaged in the whole process around moving stadium, how the stadium should look, what goes inside, what goes on outside, and all that aspect is what the trust sort of campaigns on.
If you can give me two good things that come out of last night and two things you would like to see progressing on very quickly.
Safe standing, obviously. Very happy with that. And the shirt deals, that's incredible. There's more than that, though. It's just Mashiri's sort of attitude towards, you know, him saying that, you know, it's not about, you know, we love our history, but we need to progress. We're not here to look at an empty cabinet. We want to win things, and that's really refreshing to hear.
Two things you'd like to progress?
Winning things. That's something that we need to needs to happen in a very short term. I think. Evertonians deserve good news. Trophies is a good sort of indicator as to how a team is progressing, so I'd like to see that. And obviously we need signings in, because the team does at times struggle. So
right, well, good news today. It looks like Morgan Schneiderlin's move to Goodison Park is coming closer. Obviously, we have the youngster in the form of Ademola Lookman, who's at the club at the moment. So
that's a cracking player.
He does indeed. We look forward to seeing how that progresses as well. Good luck with the FA Cup at the weekend. This could be the start of things from an Everton perspective. Simon
Wagner. This time next year could be totally different, though.
It's such is football. Simon Wagner from the Everton Supporters Trust. Simon, just give us a quick idea. If you're an Everton fan and you want to get involved with your trust, how do you do it? Give us your contact details.
We've got a website, obviously, www.est1878.co.uk. Catch us on Twitter at est_1878. Facebook.com/Everton Supporters Trust. We're in St Luke's upstairs with their Everton Heritage Society, Everton Ruleteros, Toffee Art, loads of fantastic community-based Everton groups. Come in and see us. We're upstairs. We obviously have food bank collections at the match every home game. And the food bank collection will be in the fan zone as well as St Luke's.